Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Carol, and I'm honored and grateful to be here. I was given the gift of sobriety in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was at the Glass House Group, May 1st, 1988. So I'm sober a day at a time for 13,881 days, and Friday was 38 years of continuous sobriety. And you know what? I just love all of you new people. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what? If you stay sober, you're going to look back and this is going to be the good old days. And you have so many more benefits. And when I got sober, it was a generation where we didn't have the internet and we didn't have cell phones and we had pay phones and we had dictionaries we used to use. My sponsor used to make me work look up words in the dictionary. And she used to call me intractable. And I said, "What does it mean?" And she wouldn't tell me. She said, "You have to look it up in the dictionary." And I said, "Well, how do you spell it?" And she said, "You'll find it when you look it up in the dictionary." And I don't know how to spell it. How can I find it? And she said, "You will." And I looked through the dictionary and I found it and I never forgot what it said. It means stubborn, obstinate, and difficult to treat or cure. And most days I am not intractable anymore. You know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and at 37 in September, I was 75, so I'm sober half of my life. And I'm also in Al-Anon 38 years, and that's really helped me keep contented sobriety along with my Alcoholics Anonymous program. I love the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I only have 20 minutes, so I don't have a lot of time to tell you my whole story, but what I would tell you is I came here and I didn't get a DUI and I didn't go to jail and I didn't lose jobs, but you know what? I lost my self-respect and my dignity and my self-esteem. And when I drank, I had no control. And I didn't understand that till I came to you and read the Alcoholics Anonymous book and heard y'all share. I was taught about the steps, traditions, and concepts, and I was told I have to apply all three to my life at some point to have a balanced program. I came to you. I thought I had a hateful, punishing God because I would make promises and I'd break them and stuff had happened. And that happened from the time I was a little kid. And I never set out to say, "I'm going to go drink tonight and drive home in a blackout." Or, "I'm going to go drink tonight and wake up with somebody I don't know." Or, "I'm going to drink and do embarrassing things." But when I drank, those things happened. Because once I put that first drink in my body, I had no control anymore. And I didn't drink before I went to work in the morning. I waited till I got home at night. And for a while, I started drinking at 18, got sober at 37 and a half. So I drank for 20 years. And somebody planted that seed of Alcoholics Anonymous in me when I was really young at 21. And I listened for the differences. And the difference is when I came in at 37 and a half and I felt shame and guilt and remorse and dirty inside and all those feelings. And I learned to listen for the similarities because the experiences may be different, but the feelings are the same. When I did something embarrassing, it doesn't matter what it was, how I felt was the same as other people felt when they did it. And what's good is I don't have to explain something. If I share something and you have that experience, you understand. If I say I lived in fear or whatever it was, and you have that, I don't have to try to explain it. So when I came to you, that's how I felt. And I thought I had that hateful God and life wasn't fun anymore. Drinking was fun for a while, and then it got to not be fun. By the time I got to you, my drinking was when I got off work at home and I went home and I drank. It was cheaper to drink at home and then I didn't have to worry about driving drunk and killing somebody because somebody I know did that. And I was willing to do anything. I greeted people and I set up chairs and made coffee and all those things we don't get to do at the online meetings. And just so you know, online meetings have been going on since 1986, but they were lines of text in a chat room. We have 117 people in this meeting. Imagine if somebody brought a topic up and then we're typing letter lines of text trying to answer that person and keep a conversation going. And that's what our meetings were back then. So I like this format better. So I came in and when I didn't have a drink, I was reading the Alcoholics Anonymous book and I was going to meetings, but I wasn't working the program yet. Now, what happened is at 2 weeks, I almost drank. I was at a meeting and those feelings hit, the reality hit. And nobody told me to quit drinking for the rest of my life. They just said, Does anybody want to try this way of life and stop drinking for 24 hours? And you told me if 24 hours without a drink is too much to look at, maybe I could look at an hour or 5 minutes or a breath. They also told me to eat chocolate, and it's in the big book somewhere. I know where it is, but if you read the book, you'll find it because they said I needed to put sugar in my body to replace the sugar I wasn't getting from alcohol. And so that helped too. And I think of alcohol as poison. Now, I got sober in May, and I know the holidays, people talk about Christmas. I had July 4th and Memorial Day and all those holidays. And how do I not drink? And I got a sponsor, and she said, people don't care what I'm drinking. Always go somewhere and have something in my hand, soda or water, whatever it is. And so at 2 weeks, I was going to drink. And what happened to me is I was going to leave the meeting and go drink. And a guy named John stopped me and he asked where I'm going. I told him I'm going to go drink because I don't like feeling this way. He said he had 2.5 years and he drank again for a while and he just got back and it's not better. He said, if I leave that meeting, if I go drink, I might not make it back. It's not a revolving door, or it might take a long time. We had a guy at our group. He was 7 years sober when I got sober. And after a while, he drank again, and I'd see him almost every day at noon, and he died drunk. No, he never made it back again, sober. So John told me to go back in the meeting room and talk to the women after the meeting, and I did. And I did not know I was doing a fifth step, but I told those ladies why I felt the way I was feeling and what happened to me. Oh, my timer didn't start. And I went back and I told them, and they shared their stuff with me, and they said they did the same things, and the same things happened to them that happened to me, and I don't ever have to feel that bad again. And I got a sponsor. I was at a meet another meeting. I was maybe almost a month sober. I had a lady that said she'd be my sponsor at first. It didn't work out, but then this somebody said there's a woman who needs a meeting to her house, and her name was Lois. And she became my first sponsor, and she got me through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous very quickly. She had been a smoker, so she had emphysema confined to bed the last 7 years of her life with a third of a lung on oxygen. And I would go visit her, and I would talk to her on the phone, and I would sit on her bed. I went to a lot of in-person meetings. She told me to put the effort into my recovery that I did into my drinking. I went to a meeting before work and I went to a couple meetings after work, and sometimes my after work meetings were sitting on her bed. And we would read the Alcoholics Anonymous book, and we had cassette tapes when I got sober. And I wasn't spending money on liquor, so I was buying cassette tapes, and I had an hour drive to work. And so what I did is I was playing a cassette tape of the big book, or it's 12 and 12, or a step study, or a speaker. Something so my mind wouldn't think about drinking and I'd get recovery. I did not know how to cook sober without drinking while I was cooking or pouring alcohol in whatever it was. And so I had to substitute and I had to change. She told me if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll keep getting what I'm getting. So if I like what I'm getting, keep doing it. And if I don't, I need to change it. She got me into good habits. I had to change my habits and my patterns and what I did. And so I would take a different route home, but I was listening to recordings and then I would get involved. Now we have all this technology to listen to lots of different speakers and go to different online meetings. And so Lois, the first couple of days, we talked about if I'm an alcoholic, and we went through some parts in the Alcoholics Anonymous book, and I didn't go to jail and I didn't have those consequences externally, but the dues and fees I paid was self-respect, self-esteem, and dignity. And for my 38 years, somebody sent me this chip, a medallion, and it says, a sober woman of grace and dignity. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I get to be that now. Right? And I wasn't that when I got here. And neither was the lady that sent that to me. She wasn't either. And now she is too. So Lois told me if I need a drink to be social, I'm not a social drinker. And if I wasn't drinking, would I have done the things I did? And, we went from there. And so then she told me I need to do a third step and connect to a higher power. And I said, mine's hateful and punishing. And we looked in the big book where it says, God's either everything or nothing. What do I want God to be? and that it's a spiritual program, not a religious program, and I can create any God I want. And so I wrote a list of what I wanted this higher power to be. I want it to be kind and loving and gentle and have a sense of humor and forgiving and whatever it is. And I just didn't, I called it at first. I couldn't say the word God. All right, whatever you are, show me how you're working in my life. Show me that you're here. Because see, some used to say, I give it to God. I give it to the care of God. That's what step three says. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. So that means God's going to care for me. I don't know what that force is that I call God now. But I'll tell you what, it's pretty powerful. I woke up this morning and it was pouring rain with wind really hard. And then the sun peeked out and now it's dark and gloomy and raining again. I don't know if any of you can do that, but I can't. It's going to be dark in a little while. And I have a friend I met online and she's sober over 40 years. And she said, if you say the word ball, table, dog, apple, whatever it is, we all visualize something different. And that was really good. She said her God is like George Burns in the movie, Oh God. You know, and that's okay. It doesn't matter what it is. I just have to know it's not me and I don't try to figure it out and outsmart it. I say, okay, God, whatever it is, however it goes, I'm gonna have a lesson experience to grow through to share with somebody else someday. And that's what it's about. And I don't invite God into my small, limited human day anymore. I invite myself into God's day because anything's possible in God's day, not my day. My thinking gets me here. And keep my new thinking with this higher power and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous keeps me here. So after we did that third step prayer, she told me to do my fourth step, and I did. I didn't want to do it, and I thought, well, my group's going to do step four tonight, so I'll go to a different group, and they did step four that night. I learned I can't trick God. God wants something to happen in my life, it's going to happen, and it doesn't matter what I try to do to not have it happen. So I wrote out my fourth step, and then I did my fifth step with her, but I already did the hardest part of my fifth step with those ladies when I had 2 weeks without a drink. Now, at a lot of meetings, they read the ninth step promises. There's promises throughout the big book. There's also what I call negative promises. To drink is to die. The illusion I can never drink again has to be smashed. I remember going to my doctor when I was new and I told him I joined Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, that means you can never drink again. And I panicked for about a second. And I went, no, I just don't drink today. And if that's too much, I just don't drink a breath or whatever it is. And I learned to make phone calls. Lois got me in the habit. She said, get a support group of women. She told me also to look for women more scared than me, get their number, give them my number, but I need to make the phone calls because the book says we approach people. So I had to learn, and I did practice phone calls. Hi, and I'd leave messages. We had answering machines back then. Some of us remember that. Hi, this is Carol. I'm just calling to say hi. She told me if I get in the habit of making phone calls when things are okay, then when I need to talk to somebody, it's going to be a lot more automatic to make a phone call. And then I'll know people. Because at first I called people from a phone list I didn't know and had to tell them what's happening in my life. And that was hard. So I got to know people a little bit and gave my number out a lot. And so I did my fifth step with Lois. And you know what? After I did the fifth step with those ladies and told them not my whole life story, but the main stuff of why I felt the way I felt, those fifth step promises, the thought to drink didn't come often anymore. I really didn't think about drinking much because I wasn't a bad person trying to get good. I was a sick person trying to get well. And all those things I did and that happened to me, others had that happen. And I remember sitting in the meeting and on the wall, they had the steps, the traditions, and the nine step promises. And I wanted the one that said, I won't regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it because of how I told you I felt. And you know what? I didn't feel that way after I told those ladies that stuff because they said those things that happened to me, I'm going to use to help other people like they're helping me. And that's been my experience. And I could share it without the pain now. And that's amazing. And you know, when I did my fourth and fifth step, and my sponsors told me not to throw away my fifth, fourth step to keep it. And when I was about 25 years sober, I had to moving. I didn't want anybody to find my stuff. And so I looked through my four step before I gave it away, threw it away. I had it shredded. And I didn't even remember some of those things that colored my life for so much. I felt like I was reading somebody else's story.
Right, 5 minutes, friend.
Thank you. So she got me through the steps right away. Within the first 4 months, I did all the steps to the best of my ability. We did the fifth step right away. I had no more secrets anymore. I didn't have any knot in my gut. And I used a prayer that said, God, if it be your will, I have an empty spot filled like you want it filled. And God filled it with women in service. And Lois was big on prayers. And I had prayers that, like, God, if it be your will, can I please not do things to hurt myself anymore? God, if it be your will, can I see this person or situation as you do? And I had to pray about things for 3 days before I could take action if they weren't like in an immediate need. And then I'd forget about it. In a week or two, she'd ask whatever happened about whatever it was, and I didn't remember what it was. And you know, for my 34th anniversary, somebody gave me a leather cover for my big book. And it says, there's a heart, and it says, how important is it? And she didn't know, and she had that sent to me and made it for me. Lois, you say, Harold, how important is it? Will it matter in 100 years? It didn't matter anymore. I had to trust a higher power and give up my crystal ball, and I'm not in charge. And I had no more secrets anymore. And I've shared at a women's meeting, I'll share in a little more detail than in a mixed company meeting, but I did my fifth step, and then I do my sixth and seventh step. Every day I do these things. I wake up and I make contact with a higher power as soon as my eyes open. I don't get out of bed without that contact. Because it says in step 11, upon awakening, I make contact with a higher power. I pause if I'm agitated or doubtful, and I ask for intuitive thoughts and decisions. And these things just seem to happen. Why did I come to this meeting today? I don't know. I should think I shared here the couple days yesterday, and I just knew to come. And you know, I was taught if I need to be of service, do it. And so I'm really grateful. And my share is never the same twice. I shared this morning at a meeting for an hour, and so I had to do these things. And I don't invite God into my day because my day's small, limited human. But I invite myself into God's day because anything's possible. And the formula I'm going to share with you is what I do since I'm new, and I still do it because Lois said if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll keep getting what I'm getting. So if I like it, keep doing it, and if I don't, change it. And it modifies a little about what service I do, but I'm always doing something. And I did my amends, and I do 10 and 11 all the time. And step 10 is all the steps in it. And it says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when they crop up, it tells me what to do. The solution in my big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, every step it's the same. Give it to God, pray about it, make an amend if I hurt anybody, get out of me and call you and say, what's going on in your life so God can work in my life? And I read my Alcoholics Anonymous book out loud in the first person. I remember what I read if I do that. My mind doesn't seem to wander. And it's, you know, when I was new and we couldn't make phone calls, we didn't have cell phones, and I'd be in situations, maybe at work, what do I do? And I'd hear somebody's voice that read How It Works, and it said, I stood at a turning point. The result was nil until I let go of my old ways absolutely. And I had to learn how to make decisions and check my motives. And so what I do is my third step prayer. Every day I make contact with God and I ask God, my seventh step prayer now is, God, take all of me and give me back what you want me to have today. Because I don't know what's good or bad anymore. But, you know, it's just part of life and it's not good or bad. It's just an experience that I'm going to have because God knows at some point somebody's going to call me and say, this is what's going on. And I'm going to go, oh, I went through that. This is what I did. Or I didn't go through that, but I know somebody that did. And that's what I get to share. And so I do the third and seventh step, and I do 68 to 71. I know what it says. Ask God to set my ideals. How do I want to act? They told me a loving God expresses the self through me, and are my words, actions, and deeds reflecting that? And I made amends, and some were financial because I stole money from somebody, and I stole candy and did stuff. And I made financial amends. I wrote letters for some. I left people alone for some. I changed my actions and my behaviors. And I basically live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, but I can add any word I need to for that. So thank you for having me share.